Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Congratulations to the AFC North champion! Talk about the Ravens, okay? We talk about being us, being who we are, all right? Being the Ravens! I just ran back into my book, my good book, okay? And opened up for something. This card fell out. I wrote this card like 3 weeks ago. Remember? 3 weeks ago? Wrote this down. And here's what it said. One in spirit, one in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Be a servant, be a leader, right? That's what this team's all about. That's what you men are all about. That's why you're champions. I think Ed's got something he wants to say.
These guys work hard, man. We know how much work our assistant coaches put in to this, man, to get us prepared. You know, the countless hours, man. Everybody, man, those guys work hard for us, man. So make sure we appreciate them and keep working hard for them, man. Stop complaining and let's get this work, man. Let's get this work in. Lamar Hunt, our next championship. Lamar Hunt is the one we got to go get now.
Hey, fellas, like we talked about, man. Hey, this journey ain't for us to figure out. It's for us to be obedient and continue doing what we're doing, man. It's going to play itself out in the end. But for us, we just got to stay the course. Be obedient, man. Keep doing what we're doing and continue to have faith.
Let the world hear.
Ravens on three. One, two, three.
Ravens!
Ho, 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 to the playoffs we go. That's right, the Baltimore Ravens. They secured that playoff spot a couple weeks ago, but this week they're the champions of the North Division, the AFC. Congratulations. I already got my T-shirt, you know, with the champion logo on it. And Josh, he's joining me via phone. What's going on, man?
Yeah, buddy, just piss off the hats, T-shirts, and cigars. We're all ready to rock. And AFC North champions. What's going on, folks? Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Great to be a Ravens fan again. This is kind of a feeling that we're used to as Raven fans, but this is a little bit more sweeter than usual, given to the fact that it's been 3 weeks since there's been a victory, and finally we have a victory where the team looks strong. It looks like it could be, you know, like a powerhouse in the playoffs, and at the end of this game, they secured their spot on top of the North in the AFC. So, really great time to be a Ravens fan.
Great time to be a Ravens fan indeed. I couldn't be more excited and more proud right now. One of the goals is already achieved. We got the home playoff game. We won the division. We're defending AFC North title for 2 years in a row. I think it's looking pretty good so far right now, Brandon, in Ravens land.
Absolutely it is. This was a team that kind of scared us the last 3 weeks, and it was kind of hard to show your face, you know, in other towns when you're a Ravens fan, because they look like a group of guys who were beat up, who were no good anymore. And then we come out this week against the defending Super Bowl champions, and Joe Flacco has a game among games. I mean, one of his best of the year. Ray Rice running all over the place, and the defense as well. The defense looked great as well. I mean, this was a well-oiled machine. This looks like a team that's ready for the playoff run.
Well-oiled machine, indeed. And I think they were firing all cylinders. They put together a complete game plan, and I think it helped, too, that they had a second week under Caldwell, where Caldwell was thrown in the thrust when Cam Cameron was ousted, and he just gets thrust into the position. And he had that kind of, I mean, granted, it was Denver. I think it was just too quick. And I think now that they had the, okay, like, guys, let's settle down, let's work on everything. And it was just a great game all around. I really can't pick apart much to say this, but I'm just going to really, really take some shots here at some, you know, the bandwagon fans where it's like, you know what, I'm criticizing Flacco. Yes, he's going to play bad. Yes, he's got to take care of the football. But look what happens when the line actually blocks for him. Look what happens when Caldwell calls plays to the strength. I don't know if you've seen this, but look at the bunches they were doing. Look at the motions. They were actually using the offense to their strengths and actually calling the plays that need to be called. And I don't know about you, but I looked at some past highlights and then these highlights, They actually went over the middle, which was missing in past weeks where they were trying to play outside and the checkdowns right from the outside. They actually played between the numbers, which is, I think, to this team's strength on offense.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see that as one of their strengths. His offensive line looked good. Kelechi Osemele, he looked like a guy who wasn't really a rookie this time around, so that was great to see. And the guy who's kind of been in the coach's doghouse, Bryant McKinney, he kind of came out the last couple minutes of the game, so it was kind of weird seeing him back on the field. But we got to talk about these Fairweather fans, man. You know, last week people were complaining on Facebook saying to put in Tyrod Taylor. Well, they got their wish during this last game against the Giants. They got to see Tyrod at the end of the game, so I hope they're happy. But look, Flacco, he may not be the most elitist of the quarterbacks out there. He may not be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but this guy is good, okay? And there's no way you can take that away from him. And I'm happy to see that people are Flaccoing in a different way than they were last week. Instead of laying on the ground with their face in the dirt, they're pumping their fist the way he does after he throws a touchdown pass. So I'm happy to see that the fans are backing these guys again. But, you know, if there's a three-game losing skid, I really don't want to see these people anymore complaining about putting in Tyrod and bringing Flacco out. Because, honestly, what would that do to Flacco, his confidence, if he's taken out of the game and Tyrod's put in? I mean, I think that would hurt him even more than actually losing a game.
Well, exactly. But here's the thing. I heard Tim Tebow is available. Why don't we put him in?
Oh, man, that's a whole other story. That poor guy, he's
oh, my gosh.
I don't even know where to begin for him.
No, that whole New York mess is a whole other story. But keep it in perspective here. Like I asked the fan, would you want Kyle Bowler back? That was some dark days in Baltimore sports history right here. I mean, the guy did – I mean, hey, you know, granted, he tried his best. You know, he was just a subpar quarterback, never could get his – you know, wings off the ground, no pun intended there for the Ravens metaphor there, but it's just, you compare, and I remember writing the blog on this in the summertime. We talked about this numerous times, and I'm tired of people, you know, and I know some friends of mine, who were, and I'm just, there's always going to be a debate. It's great, because it gets people fired up on one end, and there's always going to be an endless debate there, Brandon, but the fact remains is, he doesn't need to be a Tom Brady, every quarterback is unique, and I hate it when Joe Flacco is compared to the elite and he's compared to the bad. He's in his own league. He's Joe Flacco. You know, you're going to pair him to Trent Dilfer. I mean, yes, Trent Dilfer has a ring, but that was one on defense. This is 2012, not 2000. And of course, every Ravens team usually is compared to back to the 2000 days. You can't compare that. That was that era. The game has changed where you can't really have that kind of defense now in the NFL and head on and hit because we're going to get flagged all over the place. And just atrocious again. Speaking of flagging, again, Ed Reed laid a nice hit on it at Victor Cruz. And I was at the game. That was on the sidelines. I was at. It looked like a great hit from where I was sitting. But no, they have to get flag happy. And I'm telling you what, I was fired up. I was out there. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I was mad for about 10 minutes. And I'm still steamed now because, come on, it's football. He didn't have no intent. And I don't see any suspension pending. I think he's only going to get fined again. But this has to stop. It's football. It's taken away from the game we love. And apart from my love for the Ravens, it would be hard for me to actually ban the NFL altogether and be like, look, I'm not watching these games anymore. And I was saying I can't watch hockey because they're in a lockout. And this is why I became a hockey fan, because they actually hit. It's like you're a hockey fan, Brandon. You do the show on What the Puck, and we have the listeners and all that. They check in hockey. What happens if they take checking and all that away from hockey? It wouldn't be the same game, would it?
Absolutely not.
No.
It would be curling, pretty much.
Exactly. And I played lacrosse in high school. It would be the same way as taking, hitting, lacrosse, and checking. That's part of the game. It's hitting. It's the NFL. Brian Urlacher said this in the middle of the season. This is what you sign up for. If you don't want concussions, don't play. This is the game. This is why they get paid millions. Is they put their bodies on the line. This is why they train in the off season. I'm getting sick and tired of it. And again, you know, there's my rant for the week. But it's the NFL. It's making me mad, and I'm getting sick and tired of these hits. And it's just, you know, gone are the days of the jacked up segments where, oh, that was a great hit. Now it's, oh, what a pretty touchdown pass. I mean, this is, come on, really?
You know, it is something definitely that we can talk about during the offseason with all these different things. Like, look at Torrey Smith. He got a chop block penalty on him, and you look back at that, and there was really nothing else he could have done. That looked like a clean hit to me. And, you know, I think Michael Orr even got a chop block penalty as well. These guys, you know, it is football, and the refs towards the end of the game, they were getting a little flag happy, and they were pretty much flagging anything that may possibly at some point be a penalty. I don't really agree with a lot of the calls in this game. But that's really my only gripe here, is that there were a lot of penalties. Michael Orr got a lot of penalties, and there were a lot of unnecessary penalties. So that's pretty much the only negative takeaway of this game.
Negative, if you want to take away any negative from it, that could be it. The only other, I really don't see any negatives. And this is where, you know, I'm not, again, you can't really look at it through the purple goggles here and go, oh, they played a flawless game. They really didn't, because like you said, they had mistakes. Mike Orr had his mistakes. We had some miscues. I mean, that I'm not even going to get started on that Jacoby Jones touchdown was taken away. I don't know what that was about. But for all the marbles here, they played to win the game. They won the game. AFC North champions. Could be more gushing, especially beating a legitimate team where it was essentially a playoff game, because the Giants had to win in themselves, because that put them in a bad spot to make the playoffs themselves. So it wasn't like this game, it wasn't like the Oakland Raiders game where we trounced a bad team. We actually played a good team. So this is a good measuring stick for the playoffs. Hey, we played a good NFC team, defending Super Bowl champions. They have a lot of weapons. We handled the other Manning brother, Manning. We actually got pressure to him. It was great to see. Besides the fact, the offense was on fire. They were actually, they didn't really turn the ball over. See what happens when the ball is not turned over, and Joe Flacco takes care of the football, doesn't make boneheaded interception throws, doesn't have no pocket awareness, and doesn't fumble the football in crucial situations. And that's where it comes down to. It's not the amount of turnovers. It's the timing of the turnovers. It's the crucial part of the game where we need to drive to preserve, to tie the game, or the preserve the lead or win the game. It's always these turnovers that happen at the most atrocious times. And hear it again. Joe Flacco took care of the football. Harbaugh always echoes that. Take care of the football. You're going to win the football game probably 90% of the time. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Harbaugh knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's saying, and it's a completely valid point that he's making.
Valid point indeed. And it all leads to a 33-14 win. I was just ecstatic to see. It wasn't really there was a lot of Giants fans in the stands, and you know, obviously rightly so. You know, New York team very popular. They won last year's Super Bowl, so they're going to gain a lot more fans. But all in all, we had a little bit of fun with some Giants fans every time, and it was funny because the Giants fans kept trying to talk trash, and I'd go, "We play you once every 4 years. You're in the NFC." All I had to say, Super Bowl 35, 34-7, baby. You couldn't even touch us. So that's all I had, and hey, we got the trophy to prove it. So, you know, it was a great win, and obviously coupled with a comical Steelers loss, it was just, oh my God, it was just awesome seeing Cincinnati beat them the way they did, and watching some of that at the stadium before the kickoff, and knowing that all we had to do was take care of business, and they were eliminated from the playoffs, which was another Christmas present. And I'm glad Santa Claus treated us all well for the Steelers losing and knocking them out of playoffs. So leads me to my Christmas carol. I know you started the show off with a Christmas carol. I wanted the fans and everybody to hear, especially you, Brandon, to hear my personal Christmas carol. You ready for it?
I'm excited.
It's to the tune of Deck the Halls, and I'm no singer, so this might be comical, but here it is. Are the Steelers in the playoffs? Na, 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 na. Na-na-na-na. Yeah,
oh,
Mike.
I love it.
And the whole question all week was, where can I buy Steelers playoff tickets? Oh, wait, you can't. So
I think we got to record a song and then put it up on iTunes and get people to buy your version.
I don't know how many downloads that'll get, but I'm not making no Christmas albums anytime soon, so please, please refrain from...
You could be the next Michael Bublé.
I can see that now. I have a little jazz underscore with it.
But you know what? The Steelers aren't in the playoffs. This is kind of a weird feeling because we're usually meeting up with them in the playoffs. But this next week, I mean, we can talk about it a little bit, but it's the Ravens against the Cincinnati Bengals. This game really doesn't mean a lot except for the fact that fans get to see some football here. There's going to be – I don't know what – let me ask you this. If you were a coach – who would you have starting this game? Because you don't want to risk injury, but at the same time, you don't want people to have too much time off and get well rested. What do you do as a coach right now with this game coming up?
what I do is I put in my coach cap on right now is I'm going to play to win the game. First and foremost, I'm going to echo what the team has said all week. We're going to play to win the game, right? Rice said it, John Harbaugh said it. But at the same time, you're right. You can't really go on, let's sit all the players and treat this as the first preseason game of the year and Joe Flacco only gets one series. No, because what's going to happen is we're going to come out flat at home. We're all going to be billing them, and then you're going to go, oh, I told you so. They should have played the whole game. You can't really put a finger on what the game plan could be. I say the offense needs to be on the field more than defense because the defense needs the rest. Obviously, Ray Lewis, thank God he's back on the 53-man roster. So excited, but he's not going to be playing. Rightfully so. Ed Reed probably, I don't know what Ed Reed's going to be, if he's going to play a full game or not. I haven't really gotten much on Dean Pease's game plan for the defense, but for the offense, my personal game plan would be leave the offense on the field as much as possible, whether we're winning by 20 or losing by 20, because they need the practice. They need the continuity, because going into playoffs, this is what we need. Being at 3 weeks into a new offensive coordinator, offensive game plan, the offense has had the woes this year. Yes, the defense has had some injuries, but we give them benefit of the doubt because they haven't been healthy. The offense has been healthy. It hasn't been Flacco, it hasn't been hurt. It hasn't been Ray Rice that has been hurt, or Bolden, or anybody else. It's been Ray Lewis, it's been Ladarius Webb, it's been Terrell Suggs, and it's been among other people, and Holodianna's banged up, Ed Reed's gotten banged up. The defense is depleted, so rightfully so, I can see the defense lacking off a bit, and I'm going to give them some slack, but not the offense. The offense needs to be on the field, and I say win the game because you never know, speaking of winning the game, there is still a chance for playoff implications, believe it or not. If we all look at the AFC playoff picture, and you end up, Brandon, did you get a chance to look at the playoff picture this week?
I have not. It's been a busy week.
Okay, yeah. Rightfully so. We had the holiday week. But the AFC playoff picture just came a lot clearer after Sunday. And as it looks, right now it's Texans number one, Broncos number two, Patriots are third or fourth, the Colts snuck in at number five, and hey, you said the Steelers are in the playoffs, but we do have another divisional opponent in the playoffs, which is this weekend's opponent, Cincinnati, at number six seed. Cincinnati seeding does not change whether they win, lose, tie, draw, whatever. They cannot show up Sunday, and they still succeed. They're still in the playoffs locked in. The Ravens can actually gain ground, but the Patriots don't play till 4 o'clock. And here's the thing. How can the Ravens gain ground? Well, if the Ravens win, and for some reason, let's say the Dolphins end up pulling off a Christmas miracle and beating the New England Patriots on Sunday, that would catapult the Ravens to a third seed, Patriots down to a four seed. That means the season will be flip-flop. So right now as it stands, the Ravens will actually play the Colts at home to a time and day being determined still. But if they jump to the third seed, then they would actually play Cincinnati again. And there has been a big debate. Who would you rather face in the playoffs? Would you rather play Cincinnati back-to-back weeks, a familiar divisional opponent at home? Or would you rather play a rookie quarterback coming to Baltimore? And honestly, I'd rather play the Colts. You know, and I feel for Chuck Pagano, and I'm glad he's persevered through his leukemia. And it's going to be an emotional game, and that's going to hold itself because that's our old defensive coordinator coming back to Baltimore to coach is probably going to be the rookie of the year, Andrew Luck. I say hands down right now. Just what we've done, because RG3 is yet to clinch a playoff spot depending on what he does on Sunday, and Andrew Luck's already set a record, so I would say Andrew Luck gets the rookie of the year nod. And I would rather face the Colts and Andrew Luck here in Baltimore, which would be a revenge on the Colts. You know, not the same as Manningless now, but 2006, we let them off the hook, and we let them beat us, and they went on route to a championship. So I think it would be a nice – either game would be nice, but I'd rather face the Colts. And I want to hear your input on that, Brandon.
Well, you know what? We've really had our way with the Bengals, if you look at that very first week. Just like it was yesterday, that very first week that we had up against the Bengals on Monday night, and we completely wiped the floor with them. So you would like to see something like that in the playoffs to you know, be a team that is that strong in the postseason. But at the same time, we haven't faced the Colts, especially we haven't faced this rookie, Andrew Luck. And the fact that, you know, I'm a guy who grew up in Baltimore, and I wasn't born yet when the whole Mayflower incident happened. But of course, when Indianapolis comes to Baltimore, Colts is not put on to the scoreboard. It is Ravens Indy. They only say Indy here. So that's something that I would like to see them come to Baltimore, because it's always a big rivalry, even though Indianapolis and the people over there don't want to talk about it. But the Colts, you know, they started in Baltimore, and the Colts' name should still be in Baltimore. They try to take, you know, Johnny U away from us, and that's not how it's really going to work. So I would like to see Indianapolis come to Baltimore for the postseason, because this is a rookie, and he may be great, just like RG3, who we had problems with this year. But I would like to see that game. I would like to see the Ravens versus Indy in Baltimore. And, you know, if Baltimore come out with a win on that, you know, that would kind of maybe make people feel a little bit better about what happened back in the day. But, of course, we do have Chuck Pagano coming in, and having him back in Baltimore after everything he's been through this year. I mean, he's got such a great story. So you'd love to see him come back to where he came from and be able to shake hands with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and everybody, and let him know that he's doing okay, and be able to coach as well. So, I would like to see Ravens Indy in Baltimore for the postseason. You never know what happens. You know, the Dolphins might come out of nowhere and shock the Patriots. The Patriots haven't looked like a solid machine the last couple of weeks, and reports are that Tom Brady kind of went off on the team even after they won their last game. So who knows what we'll see on Sunday. Things could flip-flop, but right now as it stands, I want to see Ravens versus Indy.
Ravens versus Indy, indeed. I couldn't agree with you more on that. But let's see what happens after Sunday. But we have come to the season finale. It's been a short season. But if you just blink of an eye, I mean, remember we were gearing up for the preseason. Here we go, Monday night opener against these Bengals at home. And here we are, the pinnacle of the season. We're already AFC North champions. We've accomplished one goal. And as Ed Reed echoed in the beginning in the soundbite and beginning of the show, Lamar Hunt's the next one. And you can't really look at big picture. Yeah, Super Bowl is where we want to ultimately be, New Orleans. But to get there, we have to get the Lamar Hunt trophy. And get there, we have to win. The ultimate goal is to win on Sunday. But we have to win the week after that, whether it be Cincinnati or probably definitely going to be Indianapolis, barring any setbacks here. But whatever happens, happens. They have to get through wildcard weekend and divisional weekend. I mean, hey, look at it this way. Five more games and we're world champions. And that's the way we got to look at it, one game at a time. It's a one-game season. You know, if you put on your player mentality, they're always going to have that one-game season mentality, and you have to. But if you look at it, hey, if we keep winning, we're going. You know, win or go home. If you play that mentality now, I think this team can go far. If they catch the right stride, they could be what the experts were putting as pundits and saying that they were, it could be this year's Giants, who knows, where they haven't really been playing good football, but if you get hot at the right time and peak, and if they can soar, we'll see what happens. And actually, I'm going to actually research this weekend, but I think this is the first time in Joe Flacco's history or his career here in Baltimore that he could surpass 4,000 passing yards, believe it or not. He is 217 yards away from that 4,000 passing yards mark, which is great considering the season he has. Again, five straight years in the playoffs. I'm very proud of our quarterback, very proud of our team. Not saying we're spoiled. You know, there's been a lot of questions this week with the team clinching the division, and I want to pose a question to you, Brandon. Would you rather have the Ravens win it all, just win it all, or Super Bowl champions, and then have a two or three losing season skid, or would you rather us be contenders every year, perennial contenders, in the final 12, in the final 8 every year? Believe it or not, this team has won a playoff game the last 4 years. If they win this year, it'll be 5. That means they've been in the last 8 in the NFL the last 4 years, and 2 out of the 4 years in the final 4. So that is my question. Would you rather them win it all and then lose for and be bad for a little bit, or would you rather be consistent?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Of course, every fan wants to see their team win the Super Bowl, and I would always, that's what I'm always hoping for this team. But at the same time, you got to think about it this way. The team has been consistent over the last 5 years, and it's really held the city together. And you saw what happened just a couple weeks ago when there was 3 games losing. This team and the city, the whole state kind of fell apart and fell on top of each other and just kind of said, what the heck was going on? What are we doing? So I think just for the sake of all the fan sanity and for the state sanity, I just want some consistency that we always get close and we always look to improve something. Because once you hit that Super Bowl, you get a lot of contracts and a lot of people that want to get paid a lot of money, and you see a lot of star players leave. So for me, I think I'd want it to be consistent where we have an elongated season, and every now and again we get up to that Super Bowl level. So I think for me, it's the consistency.
I agree. You know, people from their whole body of work, you know, be barring from the 2006 seed, and if you take it from 2006 on now, they made the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years. And you got to be very grateful for that opportunity, because there will come a time where this team might endure the Orioles side of things, where they could be bad for 6, 7, 8, 9 years and they haven't made the playoffs in that many years, and we're sitting here crying the blues. Well, you really weren't appreciated the last time they were 5 years straight, because you were crying boo-hoo because Joe Flacco was throwing interceptions and fumbling the ball, and you didn't really appreciate that. Yes, they made mistakes, but the fact of the matter is, look, Charlie Batch may beat us at home, but where are they now? They're at home watching the playoffs. We're a divisional champs. So, like last year when we were all, oh, they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday Night Football. Oh, my God, the Seattle Seahawks beat us. Oh, blah, blah, blah. But the fact remains is Jacksonville was at home watching playoffs. We made it to AFC title game. Yes, we want to get there and win it all, but the fact remains is we might lose to these teams, but these teams are at home watching us play. So I'm very proud and very excited about the opportunity that's before the Ravens right now, and I'm very excited to be covering this, very excited to be a part of it, and so happens that I'm very blessed as a Baltimore sports fan, born and raised Baltimore, Old Bay in my blood, I'm telling you right now. I was at the Orioles playoff game, one of their home playoff games here back when they won the one home game, and I'm fortunate enough to have my hands on some wild card playoff tickets. I will be going to that playoff game here in Baltimore, and I'm privileged to say that. Who would have thought that beginning of season, I could have went to, if you told me I would have went to Orioles, a divisional playoff game against the Yankees and would have actually been a part of a Ravens wild card playoff game, I would have told you you're out of your mind. So I'm very tickled to death. I've never been to a playoff game in person. I'm probably going to lose my nuts, screaming, yelling. I'll probably be hoarse for a week, win or lose, draw. It's going to be fun. I really can't wait, man. I'm so excited and so stoked. The opportunity. I'm just can't wait to get it going. I almost want to skip this weekend, which we can't, and just go right to the playoff game. But it's upon us. Season finale is here. Cincinnati. We're going. Hopefully, we can make 11-5 mark and post that record. And hey, sky's the limit for this team. I think we got it going on right now. The mojo's back. If the offense can find the swagger again, I'm not going to put the crown on them and say, okay, here they are again. But keeping it. I'm getting tongue-tied. Perspective, Brandon. Again, you have to have that consistency. So if this team performs like this week, then we're going to actually say, okay. Now, but right now, they don't pass the eye test right now. But right now, they got the interest of us.
Absolutely. You know, you can't go past this Cincinnati game, even though we just want to go straight to the postseason. But you know what? This game does mean something, so hopefully these guys are going to come out and be ready to play. You know, I asked you earlier whether or not we would have a lot of the starters. I think that we are going to have a lot of the starters out there. How many actually finish the game is yet to be seen, because it could be like it was the first week where the Ravens just obliterated them. So we might see some of the second stringers come out and kind of do their thing. But as a Ravens fan, this week has been very busy because we talked about it earlier. Ray Lewis, he's been activated to the 53-man roster. Not playing this week, but that's the only way if he's activated this week, how he would be able to play in the playoffs. So it's good to have him back. But big news coming out, we actually have Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl was announced, the roster's there, and we have 6 Ravens named to the Pro Bowl roster. We have Ed Reed, Haloti Ngata, Vontae Leach, Ray Rice, Marshall Yanda, and newbie to the Ravens, Jacoby Jones. And we have the first alternate, Bernard Pollard, also named. So big news for the Ravens there. Great news. Do you agree with these Pro Bowl these Pro Bowl picks? I'm kind of happy with them.
I'm happy with them, too. If you go look at it, with Ngata just pointing his out, he had an injury halfway through the season. He's persevered, and I really feel for that. I think he's a good player on the Ravens at all. He's a Pro Bowl, premier Pro Bowler, great asset to the Ravens. I think that's a great great pick for the Pro Bowl right there. Bernard Pollard even as a first alternate. I think he could have been a starter, barring some injuries here and there. Again, this defense has been depleted with injuries, but I'm ecstatic to hear Pollard even made the first alternates. And Yanda, again, on the offensive line, anchoring that line. We had that loss with Ben Grubbs going, but Yanda, I think he's going to be mainstay here in Baltimore. I think we picked a good one there. And just gushing about this, you know, you got Leach, Dan, and Rice, you know, the 1-2 punch in the backfield, you know, leading the way. And how about Jacoby Jones? You can't forget about his dances, I think, alone made him get the Pro Bowl. I don't know what that. I think he was voted on his dances alone, man.
I'm ready for him to do a little luau once he gets in the Pro Bowl.
That's what I was going to hear. You stole my thunder, man. I was thinking the same thing, man. He was probably going to bust out the grass skirt luau kind of deal, like a Ocho Cinco kind of deal. But, hey, you know, he's well-deserved that. I mean, he has 105, 108 return yards for touchdowns, and, wow, Jacoby Jones has been a great asset to this team on special teams and given the lift we needed when we needed a big score. He had that one in the Cowboys game, which was unbelievable, and it just turned the tide of the game. And I'm very proud of our guys making the Pro Bowl, all of them, you know, and all of them who didn't. And speaking of Pro Bowl and actual leads, leads me to, you know, going. Let's go jump back and giving out some awards here. Let's say game balls for this Sunday. Actually, you know, definitely Ray Ray's going to get one, believe it or not. He was AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He got that this week honors. And I think Mr. Rice is definitely going to gain game ball, along with his quarterback, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco played out of his mind. If he plays like that, his line blocks for him, we could be horsing the trophy in February. I don't see any doubt about that.
Yeah, those guys, Ray Rice, Joe Flacco, you can't go wrong with that combo right there. They had one hell of a game. Can't say anything bad about those guys in this past game. So, totally agree with you there with those game balls. You know, just great, great performance by those guys.
Great performance all around, and I'm going to pass the big skin. I'm going to give a big, huge game ball to the whole team. Next man up. This team has been through some adversity this year. The general going down against the Cowboys. Terrell Suggs battling some injuries here and there. He's defensive, reigning defensive player of the year. We have Darius Webb go down to Pro Bowl corner. We've had injuries depleted, but we're not down and out. You know, if you look at this, you know, as a whole, the body of work, you know, every man plays for every man beside him. This team, even Harbaugh said in his postgame speech at the AFC North Champions, you know, every man is a servant and is a leader. They play for each other. They're there for each other. It's always next man up. Okay, somebody's hurt. Well, let's fill in. Ella Beats did a great, great job filling in, obviously. And then with McLean going down, you know, we had another one. But then here comes Ray Lewis back for a playoff run. Ray Lewis, and he's going to come out of the tunnel. I've already said this. They're introducing the offense probably, I think, for the playoff game because they introduced defense last game. Telling you what. They might make him do his dance because this place is going to erupt. It's going to be the lift we need. And I'm just excited all around for our guys, AFC North champions. And, wow, I'm just excited overall. I'm excited for the city, excited for the fans, excited for us because we get to actually have one more week prolonged for the show. And, hey, let's keep it going. I like to go well into February and having like every said, start with Lamar Hunt. I like to have an AFC title celebration. And then, hey, let's have a world championship celebration. That'd be crazy.
I'd be pretty happy with that. You know, I haven't brought this up to you at all. I'm kind of springing this on to you right now. But this is what I have kind of brewing in my mind. I think what we need to do is, at the end of the season, we need to have a special episode of The Call called The Ravies. And that's where we give out our awards for Rookie of the Year, Starter of the Year, Play of the Year. And it's our picks. And we'll present them on air to different players. So that's one of the ideas I got kind of brewing in my head right now.
Like where your head's at, man. I love the thinking on that, and I think that's a great idea. I'm sure our fans would agree and our listeners. It'd be a great addition to the show and for our inaugural season here to cap it off. If the season ends in 2 or 3 weeks or whether it ends in a month, and we're going to February, it'd be great if we're going down in New Orleans, down Walgreens Street, French Quarter, and We're going to do some wild things for the playoffs. We're looking to. I'm still trying to hammer down. Not promising fans here, but we're trying to hammer a location out, depending on what day and time they play the game. Because obviously I'll be there. I'm going to try to do a live on location this week for the playoffs. The next 2 weeks, so keep that out there. Because I might invite y'all out for a live broadcast. It'll be our first one. Again, no promises. Because some things are still in the works. They might fall through as the holidays, everybody's busy. But I'm still trying to work that in there, and I wanted to get that out there. And something else is brewing on my mind, Brandon. I want to get it out there. And it's been floating around this week in Baltimore sports media and fans out there. And I even posted the question on Facebook earlier and got some feedback. And I kind of wanted to throw a little fun in here. Since we're AFC North Championships, we can have fun. I mean, it's the call. We can do whatever we want.
Absolutely.
But absolutely. But we wanted to throw a question out there. Obviously, we all know the historical monument out there, Mount Rushmore, and kind of wanted to throw a Baltimore spin on it, and I heard this thrown out on their local media airwaves here, and I'm not going to take the credit for this. This wasn't my idea, but I'm just going off of that, and actually wanted to bring it here on the call and pose a question to our listeners and fans out there. And you, Brandon, I'm going to put my spin on it too. First thing I'm going to ask you, I'm actually going to break it down a little bit, because obviously Mount Rushmore, we would have Mount Baltimore, but I'm going to actually break it down because obviously there's four faces, and obviously you get the gist here of what I'm trying to do. Whose faces in Baltimore sports history would you put on your own personal Mount Baltimore? But I'm actually going to split it because I couldn't narrow down four faces to put on there. So I'm actually going to make two monuments. One's going to be called Mount Nevermore for the Ravens, obviously, and then one's going to be actually Mount Baltimore. It will be the other side of Baltimore sports, whether it be Orioles, Colts, or whatever you want to put in there, Terps. But I wanted to set that off. I actually wanted to start you off. Who would you have in mind for your two monuments there, Brandon?
Oh, man. Of course you would have, you know, the great Ray Lewis. He would have to be a part of there. Cal Ripken, another guy you have to kind of think about for this Mount Baltimore. Johnny U, another one. And somebody, you know, you might not be thinking about, baseball, football, whatever. Michael Phelps has got to be in there in some place because the dude has so many gold medals that he's brought back to Baltimore from the Olympics. So those would just be some of my top guys I would have to think about and bring in.
Good ones there. You can't go wrong with any of those. I mean, it pretty much you can have an endless debate on whose face you leave on, whose face you leave off. I'm going to split off my two mountains here. I'm going to say Mount Nevermore. Basically, I'm going to put, obviously, I'm going to throw a name out there first and foremost. We wouldn't have any of this, and we have already covered this, the late Bart Modell. I have to put his face up there first and foremost. None of this would be possible if it wasn't for him. And definitely feel for that. He should be up there. And I think if we want to put the Founding Fathers up there, it's going to be Art Modell. It's going to be probably definitely going to be, I would have to say Ray Lewis, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be Ray Lewis. And I'm actually going to put Jonathan Ogden's face up there because these guys were our first two draft picks, the two first ballot Hall of Famers. They were cornerstone for our team for building that championship. Ray Lewis on the defensive side, Ogden on the offensive side. He anchored that line for years in Baltimore. I'm going to have to put them both up there. And obviously, we're going to put another face up there. It's going to be Johnny U. All those four of those faces. And it was I had to put Ogden over there, Ed Reed, because Ogden was the first original Raven, along with Ray Lewis. They were the first two. And obviously, you could be switching, you know, put Reed in there in place of Ogden. You could put Reed in place of Modell, whatever you want, but that's my four. And obviously for Mount Baltimore, I'm actually going to put, I'll put Ed Reed over there, but I'm just going to put Cal Ripken, and I'm going to put, it was kind of hard for me to look back in there for the Orioles history. I think I might put, I like Jim Palmer up there. He's one of my favorite Orioles pastimes. You know, I never got to watch him play, obviously, but I love him as a broadcaster. Love hearing about his, you know, his old diamond stories and pitching, and I would definitely put Jim Palmer up there, and then I would actually put Gary Williams. I would actually put Gary Williams because he's built the basketball program down at College Park, won a national title the year after the Ravens won the Super Bowl. It was a glorious 2 years in our sports history here. They beat Duke in the Final Four, obviously, and then beat the Kansas Jayhawks, in the Final Four, I should say, and then beat the Indiana Hoosiers in the finals to win the national championship. So that would be my personal spin on things, obviously, because you're going to have an endless debate. You make mountains and mountains with these guys' faces on them. We would always remember these guys down in Baltimore sports. And I kind of wanted to throw that out there. It was kind of a fun thing. And heard that this week, and I kind of wanted to get the debate started. So fans, if you wanted, I'm going to throw a hashtag out there. I obviously tweet Mount Ravens, or I always seem to see Ravens more, but Mount Nevermore and Mount Baltimore. And actually, you can always tweet me or Brandon your picks for your personal mountains and your monuments. And I kind of want to hear what the fan spin on it is. So that's what I'm going to throw out there for the next couple weeks. And We're going to be celebrating the AFC North title, but we got work to do. Week 17 is upon us, season finale in Cincinnati. Then we come out with a win 11-5, and hey, we're going to enjoy some playoff football, and obviously we'll get to it next week, and we'll know a date and time of this game, and we're going to enjoy some one more game, and then we're going to get to Wild Card Weekend.
It's going to be a crazy couple of weeks. And one name you got to think about for your Mount Baltimore. How about Secretariat winning the Preakness so long ago? So maybe you even got a horse head up there. That's all up to you. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think. Of course, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but we have to bring this up because the news kind of broke this past week. We know the opponents that the Ravens are going to be facing next season in 2013 and the home opponents. Now, this isn't in any certain order. We don't know what the actual schedule will be like, but as far as who will be facing at home, we have the Browns, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Jets, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Texans. So those are going to be some good games to go to, and if you get a chance to go down to M&T Bank. Our road opponents for the 2013 season, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Miami, Buffalo, Chicago, Detroit, and Denver. So we're going to see the Denver Broncos once again, maybe Peyton Manning again. This time in Denver, but the road opponents, though, Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Miami, I mean, for a team like the Ravens who isn't the strongest on the road, I got to say, I kind of like seeing those opponents if we have to go anywhere.
I agree. That's kind of a shocker. And again, our home games are going to be very great, and I think we're going to have a lot of primetime games because just given the caliber of the opponents, especially we've already made it to the postseason, so we're probably going to get another couple of primetime games, maybe a Monday night or Sunday night or Thursday night. And with Adrian Peterson coming off the year he's had this year, he's making a case for MVP with Peyton Manning. They could be co-MVPs for all carriers. They've both been phenomenal coming with Peyton Manning being with his injury a year ago, and then with this time last year, Peterson tearing his knee apart and having major reconstructive surgery and coming back and almost pushing the 2,000 rushing mark is just phenomenal. And having Aaron Rodgers coming in, you know, elite quarterback, Super Bowl MVP, leading the Packers in, I think it's going to be great. Brady coming in, Texans coming in, couple AFC contenders here, big heavyweights. We always take the Patriots. Good, we've already beat them here this year. The Jets is going to be fun, depending on what their situation is next year. These home games are going to be great again. It's going to be great to, you know, try to get to all your home games again like I did this year, and it was the first time I've ever done that as a fan. I've been very privileged and honored to be a part of it and be a part of the 70,000 strong in M&T, and as y'all are owed your national anthems, you know, getting crazy, and I'll be there for the playoff games. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be freaking crazy. Can't wait. And, wow, yeah, there's an opponent next year. Yeah, right, not to jump ahead. It's always fun to talk about, but that's going to be some good all-season talk as the schedule comes out later in the years. And it's just going to be really, really fun enjoying this now in 2012, going to a playoff push. And then, hey, maybe we can ride the home games and these great home games, and maybe we'll be defending champions. Who knows? That'd be great.
That's what I like to hear. And if any other information, I got those opponents off of RussellStreetReport.com. They're a great fan site if you guys ever want to check that out. It's by the fans, for the fans, kind of like the call a little bit. So if you ever want any news like that, go to those guys. This is actually breaking as we're talking right now on Thursday night. The NFL.com is reporting the NFL has fined Ed Reed $55,000 for his hit on Victor Cruz from the last Sunday's Giants game. So as we're talking right now, it looks like Ed Reed is going to be coughing up a little bit of coin, $55,000 to the
NFL.
He's fine.
He's fine. But yeah, just again, you know, reiterate, I'm glad he wasn't suspended. I know I was upset about that hit. He had a $50,000 fine last time. It was a $500,000 fine, and again, suspension got reduced. Again, he's not. It's intent. You know, they're just worried about safety and leading with the shoulder towards the head. I don't want to get involved because it was very pitiful. And again, you know, not getting me fired up, it does bring another point on the call here, you know, where as players see, they get fined for, you know, hitting wrongly or whatnot, whether it was intent. But how about refs? Why don't refs get held accountable for the bad calls they make and get fined or get suspended game checks or something? I mean, you would have to hold them accountable, wouldn't you? I mean, they're human errors, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anybody can make a mistake, including referees. So I think that's something that should be looked at. But whether or not they actually do that, that might be in their new contract after they just came back after going on strike. Maybe it's in their contract. They're not allowed to be wrong, but who knows?
Well, I would have implemented it, but who am I to point there? I'm not all the wiser, but this is why we do what we do. We got opinions. We're going to put them out there and think it's a legitimate argument. But, hey, glad he only got docked $55,000 and not suspended, because that was my first instinct was, if he's suspended for the playoffs, I'm going to lose my cool. But, and even if he was suspended for Cincinnati, I would still lose it because we need every player we can. But I'm so happy to hear that. And it's only a $55,000 fine. Sorry, Ed Reed, but hopefully you'll be all right and make more hopefully next year. Now, that'll be on a business decision. We'll get to that in the offseason. But right now, let's focus on Cincinnati and winning one more game, and let's push for the playoffs. Let's go.
All right. So did we cover everything, man? This is a pretty big filled show.
if it was a big field, and obviously the field's huge enough that Ed Reed's got it, even $55,000 less richer, but I think Ed Reed's got this one.
All right, very cool, man. So, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, go ahead and follow me at Brando Cash. You can follow me during the game. And Josh, follow him on Twitter, too. You know, he's got all kinds of Raven stuff. He's always tweeting. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me on ItalianGQ52.
Awesome, man. And if you like the call and you want more information about the call and about any of the other shows on the at Brando Cash Network, make sure you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, like us over there, and you'll get all the information about like when new shows will be out and everything like that. If you're listening to this on something besides iTunes, go over to iTunes, check the call, search for the call in the iTunes store, and click subscribe. Every time there's a new show, it gets automatically downloaded straight into your iTunes, so you got nothing to worry about. And if you have the podcast app on your iPhone, subscribe to the call on there as well, and the shows will be taken directly to your phone, so you don't even have to plug your phone into your computer anymore to get the newest episode. And to help us out, always write an iTunes review, let people know that you like the call. Kind of helps us climb the ladder in the iTunes world. Plus, if you're on social network anywhere, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, go to Tumblr, do everything you can think about. I don't even know what else is out there. Instagram, you know, if you like people stealing your pictures. New one just came out, Feed. Go to Feed or Hipster or whatever. Just let people know. Tell people you're listening to the call and that you're a Ravens fan and that you're digging the show. And that'll really help us out grow even bigger and bigger and bigger. So thank you, everybody. Josh, have a happy new year, man. And hopefully this will be a good game to watch on Sunday.
Thanks, Brandon. Happy new year, fans and listeners. And we're going to send you on style this week. We're going to go out as champions, AFC North champions. And I think we're going to... we're going to go out with some Queen this week, so let's enjoy it, and let's go Baltimore Ravens fly high.
We are the champions, my friend, and we'll give our party to the end. We are the champions.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.